Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Joining me now is Ross Tucker for Tucker's Tape for this portion of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're into March already, and spring practice is around the corner. That's got to get you all excited, Ross.
It does. Yeah, you know, what I really like, Jim, even though we're not necessarily out of the woods yet with all of the COVID stuff, and hopefully everybody realizes that, we at least, I think, are at the point where I think we have figured out how we can play sports responsibly in this era. And, you know, the stuff I read, not to get into that, but I think a lot of people should be able to have the vaccine by the end of April and blah, 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 right? It's not really about that. My point is I think we now know what we need to do to be able to have spring practice, to be able to do things like that, which is terrific. And also, you know, if there's an issue, then there's an issue, and we know how to deal with it. We're just a lot more familiar with where things stand now, I feel like.
I do, too. And just mentioning the vaccine, I already have my first shot. Next week, I get my second one, Ross. So then I'm all ready to roll. I'm ready to go watch some football. But anyway, our task here today, though, is to talk football. And what I'd like to do starting this week is a new series. We've done this in previous off seasons, Ross. It's been really popular. And that's going around the team doing a positional review. I thought, in honor of you, what better place to start this review than with the offensive line? So let's start there. And there's a great starting point for this offensive line with these bookend tackles, isn't there?
There is. And I got to tell you, Jim, I love that we're starting with the offensive line. Nobody ever starts with the offensive line. You know what I mean? I mean, nobody ever starts with the offensive line. Everybody always starts with the quarterback, and then they go to running back or receiver, and then they go to the other one, running back or receiver, and then they get to the offensive line, maybe. So I like that we're setting the precedent here. And I will say this, like, we talk about it a lot. Obviously, quarterback is a very, very important position. But, Jim, you know, it's interesting. I think maybe even more in the NFL level than college. But offensive and defensive line is so important. I mean, you watch Alabama's O-line. It's funny. Like, Devontae Smith had a great year, Jim. I think Alabama's offensive line should have won the Heisman. I mean, Mac, like, Najee Harris has these huge holes. Mac Jones is standing back there for, like, 10 seconds. By that time, Devontae Smith's wide open. I mean, feels like 5 out of the last 10 years, Alabama's offensive line could have won the Heisman.
You do realize it is your influence on me that makes me go to the offensive line first. And it's not just me doing this for you. I've actually started to watch offensive line play when I watch games. And that's all because of you, Ross.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. It's very, very important. So, listen, we've talked about it before. I think it should be stated again. Penn State's offensive line was disappointing to me in 2020, and I thought that they took somewhat of a step back from where they were in 2019, which was surprising because they essentially had 5 starters back from 2019. I mean, they had lost Steven Gonzalez, but they had, you know, had Miranda as well as Thorpe. Forgetting Thorpe's first name.
CJ.
CJ Thorpe. CJ. They had rotated at right guard the year before. So essentially, they were able to have 5 starters back this past year. So for them to take a step back, I thought was really disappointing. Really disappointing, Jim. And there's probably a lot of factors for it. New offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach, lack of practice time, whatever. But the reality is, this is the second time where Penn State's offensive line has taken a step back when I didn't expect it. The Ryan Bates, Connor McGovern year as well, I thought they'd be great that year. They weren't as good as they had been the year before. It's kind of weird. So what we do know is you're right. They've got two offensive tackles that are what you're looking for when you are at a place like Penn State and you are recruiting, right? Like you want guys like Rashid Walker, Caden Wallace, top 250 players, 6'6", long arms, good athletes, powerful. Now, last year was Wallace really his first time playing, and I thought he did some real positives to the point where they made him the starter. I mean, Jim, it is not easy when you have five returning starters like that for a freshman to work his way into the starting lineup, but Wallace earned it. I mean, he earned it. He got it. They moved Fries in the right guard because C.J. Thorpe was disappointing. And I think C.J. Thorpe, it's not out yet where he's transferring, right?
I don't think he's announced yet. I was just, you know what? I was just looking at that, Ross, and I don't think he has announced yet. But the one thing that has come out is I think he wants to switch over to the other side of the line. He wants to become a defensive player, correct?
Correct. And I think that's more fun for him. I don't think he has as good of a chance to make play at the next level, but I think he figured after the last couple years that maybe the offensive line wasn't his ticket to the next level, and he'd rather have fun and play defense. At any rate, here's what I would say. As far as Penn State's offensive line, Caden Wallace, very promising. I would say Rashid Walker, Jim, I would put him in the same category as the offensive line this past year in general, which is to say a little disappointing. You know, I really thought that there was a chance that Rashid Walker would take a big step forward, in 2020 and maybe leave school early. You know, I thought he had a chance, Jim, to come out and have a terrific year like he did as a redshirt freshman, build on that, have a big-time year, and be able to leave school early, go pro. And that is not what happened. He was fine. He was good. But he was not a dominant player. He did not, much like the rest of the offensive line, take the step forward that I think I thought he might.
How much of that do you alluded to it already, the lack of spring practice last year, new coach. How much can you attribute to that, Ross?
It depends on how much Troutwine attempted to change their techniques and how much the scheme was changed. I didn't notice a ton of scheme change other than maybe more quarterback runs. I didn't notice it's hard to be frank, Jim. I would say, and you and I talk about this, maybe half the games I watched I watched the TV copy and the other half I watched the coaching tape. Unless you sit there and rewind it five times and watch every offensive lineman on every play, it's really hard to nail down what techniques they're using and how they're different and how that may or may not be affecting those guys. It just is. I mean, it's hard. So the answer is it hurts. I mean, it's a position, like it's a skill like anything else, Jim. So that means repetitive, repetition, reps, doing things over and over again, you improve upon that skill. And I just think when you're introduced to new concepts, they didn't really have time, especially with no spring ball, to go ahead and improve those skills to the point they wanted to.
All right, let's move from the tackles to the inside, Ross. Michael Mennett, multi-year starter, gone. Will Fry's gone. As we mentioned, C.J. Thorpe is gone. So there's a bit of a rebuild on the interior of the line, isn't there?
There is. So what you've got going on there is, and I had not heard this for sure, do we know where Miranda's going to play?
It seems to be the big debate is between he and Juice Scruggs. I'm assuming they're going to take up two of the three positions, but the question seems to be which one should be the center, which one should be the guard. And my guess would be Miranda would be the center just because he's the more experienced guy.
Yeah, no, I think body type-wise, Juice Scruggs is a better center candidate. And then you have him as your center for a couple years. Whereas Miranda, correct me if I'm wrong, only has 1 year left, although that always gets confusing now with the whole COVID thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's 1 or 2 years left. I got to go find my roster. Let's see. Miranda, well, last year he was listed as a redshirt junior. So I guess this year he'll be a redshirt junior a year with the mulligan. So he actually does have 2 years of eligibility.
Right. So at any rate, I don't know how many of these guys I expect to stay for a sixth year, especially a guy like Miranda who's played a lot of football already. I'd probably – but see, again, Jim, I'm not there. I don't know which one of those guys is further along mentally, right? But it does appear as if Miranda and Scruggs will have two of those spots and that they'll be in pretty good shape there, I think. The other spot, it looks like it could be Wiggin, who got some time last year. Could be Dez Holmes. Could be Wormley. It feels like there's going to be an epic battle for that last spot between a lot of different guys.
How about the transfer from Harvard? I did want to ask you about him. You have experience in the Ivies. What's tougher for him, the upgrade from Ivy League to Big Ten or the fact that he sat out a year?
Well, I don't know about the sitting out a year. Never had to do that, so I don't really know. But I will say this. They offered him a scholarship for a reason. He's at Penn State for a reason. I would imagine that at a minimum, Jim, he'll work his way into the rotation. If you're an all-Ivy League player, you're probably good enough to work yourself into the rotation at Penn State.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing that, Ross. That is it for quarter number two. Stay tuned for quarter number three. That's when we get a chance to ask Ross.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about sauces like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.